On the show today, we've got Judith Walter from Coffee Capsules Direct. Today, we're going to be talking about mentorship startups and learning from your mistakes. We want to welcome Judith Walter. Thank you so much for joining us from Coffee Capsules. And Judith is the co-founder and marketing manager there. And you've been running the business for how long now?
Coming up to 5 years now.
Oh, that's amazing. So can you pay yourself a salary yet?
Yes, we do. Yes, we can, thankfully.
You're surviving. you're paying the bills. And
yeah, it's not always easy, but because when you're growing, you obviously also need a lot of cash still to put into the business, and we're growing quite exponentially. But seeing the returns already, you know, employing more people, growing the company, so...
It's always so exciting. You spend money, you make money, you spend money, you make money. You never really like it, that place where it's just pouring in and you... Not yet, hey? Not yet.
No.
Lying back on the beach,
and I guess
driving a Lamborghini.
Yeah, look, those are some goals. But, you know, the main goal for me, what has always motivated me, is to grow people that actually start working with us.
Okay.
So, you know... We want to grow the business in a way that everybody who works for us in the business benefits from the business. So that's why maybe the Lamborghini will never happen in a way.
Yes.
Because,
yeah.
You know, we want to also be fair to our employees for them to, you know, grow with the company.
I like it. I have this benchmark in my mind. As soon as I can afford a Range Rover, that means I can afford an orphanage.
Yeah.
So as soon as I know I'm going to buy the Range Rover, then I ask myself, okay, where's my orphanage? Then I start the orphanage, which is, you know, a couple of kids on the side. And then, because I feel like if you can afford a Range Rover, you can afford an orphanage, and, you know, you should be making a difference in somebody's lives instead of spending a ridiculous amount of money on a car for all those people who drive ridiculously amazing cars. Okay, cool. So we're going to go through a couple of questions because our viewers are dying to know how to create a successful business, because South Africans and I think everybody in the world, more and more, I think we need to start looking at entrepreneurialism because most jobs are going to be redundant in a couple of years' time due to technology. And so if you're not an entrepreneur, you know, I think you need to be dusting off your entrepreneurial side. But also I think South Africans specifically are very entrepreneurial. But maybe it's not just a South African thing. I think maybe there's just a lot of, you know, people out there that don't like to be managed and want to be their own boss. So maybe that holds true for a lot of people who are all over the world. It's not just a South African thing. But okay, so let's talk about how you started Coffee Capsules Direct. Did you start that yourself direct, or did you start that with your co-partner?
So I have a partner, Rowan, who I, you know, obviously met in Cape Town, and he at the time was actually writing the business plan itself and said, look, you know, why don't you come on board and we start the business together? And we both had very different skill sets, which is always an advantage if you partner up with someone, make sure, you know, they have a different skill set to yourself. Mm-hmm. So Rowan knew all about the technical background. He'd been in the capsule industry for the past 4 years, you know, started also one of the first manufacturing companies of compatible capsules. And then we thought, you know, let's start out by renting those tiny little machines and put them in people's offices, and you know, that's basically how we started to build up a business plan, write up a business plan. While we were starting the business, we were still working on other projects, because obviously, you know, when you start out first, you've got to make sure that you can still pay your bill. So that's also an advice I would give every entrepreneur, because a lot of people, I think, dream about it, but they don't do proper market research. And if we wouldn't have changed our business in the space while we went along, we would have been closed down already, because the rental model was working for a while, but we didn't have the volumes that we've expected. So we've created an online store where we offer, you know, a variety of compatible capsules for all different coffee systems. Obviously, Nespresso compatible being the biggest one for us, because it's just the biggest market in South Africa. But that's how we actually stayed afloat.
So, okay, there's a whole bunch of things I want to chat about. So firstly, if you haven't worked out yet what Judith does, give us your elevator pitch.
So we make people's coffee dreams come true because they go on our online store and they order any variety of coffee capsules that you can imagine, the biggest variety online in South Africa. And they just click and then they pay and then they drink and then they are happy customers.
On any machine.
We have, you know, compatible capsules at a much better price, obviously, for all machines. You know, Nespresso, Lavazza, Blue, Nescafe Dolce Gusto, you name the system. It's also about customer education. Because once you buy a machine, you are kind of stuck to the capsules. Mm-hmm. So obviously with the compatibility part, people save a large amount of money that normally goes to branding, you know, where you pay
expensive
much more.
Sponsors who are very attractive.
Pay much more for original capsules than compatible ones. And also South Africa, the online game is still growing massively.
So
we were one of the first players in the online market here. And obviously, you know, the biggest variety, that was always our thing. Because you don't just want to drink one flavor of coffee. You want to maybe try other things and go on to flavored and hot chocolate.
And I love it because we have it at our offices. So when our clients come, we've got a little paper and it's like, which flavor would you like? And ordering all different fancy, funky ones. And
yeah, and it's also
and the varieties have just changed and just keep growing. You keep adding on different. So this great coffee. Look at this crepe. This is good.
Yeah, and it's also the South African market that has grown so much, you know, with coffee. I mean, here in Cape Town, we're quite spoiled with amazing roasters. But, you know, nationwide, people start to realize I don't have to, you know, drink instant coffee. I can actually have a crema on my coffee. And they actually know that a crema is only done if you have a high pressure machine. It won't come from your drip or from your filter machine. And it tastes different. I have converted people.
Yay.
People that have only drank instant before, they tried my coffee and then they said to me, damn you, now I can't drink anything else. And that's, I know, my job is done.
I know when I lived overseas, because I lived in London and Australia, when I moved to Australia, I couldn't drink the coffee. It was so strong. And I was, for the longest time, I was like, I can't stand this coffee. But eventually I started liking it and becoming used to it. And I lived in Melbourne and they would serve cappuccino in like a glass. In a glass, like a cool drink glass. But apparently that's the Italian way, because there's so many Italians in Melbourne. Anyway, cut a long story short, I come back to South Africa and I cannot drink the coffee. It's milky swivel. It's terrible. So, I love that the South African, you know, we finally started waking up to this coffee culture and getting some decent roasts. Okay, so the other thing I wanted to touch on was picking a partner. So when I went on the course at the Bandwidth Barn, you went to on the Bandwidth Barn course as well.
Yeah.
And when I went on the course and they taught me how to be an entrepreneur, thank you Bandwidth Barn, one of the things that they drummed into me was that if you shouldn't pick a partner that you're not prepared to marry. And I have used that advice so many times in my business. Literally, like, I've met somebody and I'm thinking, can I partner with this person? And then I think, can I marry this person? So tell us about your partner.
Well,
how's that working out for you? I should mention it.
We just got married, so that has worked out quite well.
But isn't that what do you talk about when you get home? Do you talk about coffee and distribution? Does it just is your whole life one big work day?
Not really, but then, you know, as an entrepreneur, be prepared. You do have to work weekends and nights if necessary. So it does definitely help, you know, for some things. And then you can actually address topics that you need to talk about in a relaxed environment, you know, like on the couch. We had some of the best ideas.
Okay.
But it also, you know, if you go through it with a relationship, it strengthens both. It strengthens your business and your personal relationship.
It must be awesome for your partner to really just understand your day.
Yeah, even though, you know, Rowan and I, we sit opposite each other, and sometimes we won't talk to each other for 4 hours because he's doing new product development, I'm doing marketing, and I have actually no clue what he was doing. And then we sit together for a meeting, discuss what we need to discuss together for half an hour, and then we're off. So we actually work really well together as a team. And I feel very fortunate that we have, you know, that we have that. And that you have to obviously, and that's the thing with the Mary part, you have to be able to take criticism. And that's really important in a business environment. So if you choose a partner and you don't value their opinion or you push it away, then it's not going to work, because you need to be able, and that's the same thing with market reactions. You need to be able to look at the market. How does the market react to your product, to your offering? And if they're not reacting, it's maybe your fault.
Mm.
So you,
I was just going to say, it's not just, I think, in a with a partner that you have to be able to take criticism. It's in a marriage, you have to take criticism. It's in your business, you have to take criticism. The minute you start becoming defensive, then things get pear-shaped.
Yeah. So you always have to take on feedback. Doesn't mean you always agree. Doesn't mean you have to change it just because you have the feedback, but you've got to be prepared to maybe change.
So another thing that you touched on there was pivoting. So you didn't do a major pivot but it's still quite a significant pivot when you shifted from just the rental business to online. Do you still do rentals, but is the primary thing online, or have you moved away from rentals?
We've basically moved away completely from renting out coffee machines.
Oh, wow.
Purely because the supplier that we had for the coffee machines stopped bringing them in. So, and it wasn't really a high return for us, because a lot of people now have the machines in the market and they actually just want to buy the capsule. So yeah. We supply a lot of, you know, home users, offices, hotels, and that, because with our variety, that has disrupted the market in a sense that we were the first online store in the coffee environment who had, you know, compatible capsules for more than one system on one platform. And some people have an espresso machine at home, but they will have a Cafetaly machine at the office, and they want to order everything from one platform. So, and then obviously what has really changed our business in the last year and a half was a cleaning capsule that we've developed specifically for Nespresso machines, and now we've actually also done one for Cafetaly and Cafe Systems, which we've actually just launched at a show in Milan overseas.
Wow, how did that go?
That was amazing. We had so much great feedback on it. And since we've launched a product, that cleaning capsule that cleans the, you know, the brewing chamber of those coffee machines, our business has just gone through the roof internationally.
Wow.
And,
how many countries?
We're now in 24 countries around the world.
That's amazing. So from a little Cape Town-based company that rented out machines to a national e-commerce website to an international coffee cleaning capsule business.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look back 5-6 years to when you started the business, could you have seen that you had come this far, and could you have done what you're doing now 5 years ago? Or did you have to go through that growth, that personal growth, the mental growth, the operational growth, logistics growth?
Well, that's what happens when you do something and you see there's improvement. So what we've done with renting the coffee machines, we got coffee machines back from clients and realized they were like super dirty. And then we thought, well, you know, we're an ethical company. We're not going to rent this to another person. How do we clean this now?
Oh, wow.
And then Rowan, because he's a technical brain, said, well, why don't we make a pod? Because it's so easy. You use it like your coffee capsule. You slot it in, you press the button, and then the front is clean. And your coffee tastes better. The machine lasts longer. It flows. And then we started using that on our own customers, you know, on our own machines. And we thought, hold on a second. If we want to clean our machine, maybe other people also want to clean their machine.
Mm-hmm.
And then we thought, well, let's push this big. And we just started designing a product, putting it all into place, you know, preparing for international markets.
Wow.
And then we started pushing it overseas, got straight away listed in 3 major countries in Europe.
Wow.
And it just, you know, went on from there. And then here we are today, you know, we've been to 3 international shows this year already, looking at, you know, other markets for next year. We're looking at Japan.
And you manufacture locally?
We manufacture everything locally.
Wow.
And,
awesome.
You know, especially when you deal with the European market, it's custom designed boxes, because obviously, you know, when you ship to Italy, it has to have Italian on it.
Oh, wow.
So Italy, UK and Germany are definitely our biggest markets at this stage. Scandinavia is also really doing well. So
they've got a big coffee culture.
Those are the countries with the cleanest machines.
Thanks to you.
Yeah, and it can...
So you've disrupted the markets quite a bit. I mean, you've probably upset a few people.
Well, it was the first cleaning capsule for the Nespresso machine system. Mm-hmm. There is a descaler that you can get for your machine, but mm-hmm. that kind of works on the back of the machine and it's an acid.
Okay.
Whereas the cleaning capsule works on the front of the machine and breaks down the oils and the coffee. Because
is it still healthy to drink coffee that's been cleaned with a chemical cleaner?
It is. Yes, because it dissolves completely. It goes completely out of the capsule and you basically rinse it afterwards. The ingredients that we use as well, they're all made from biodegradable products.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing actually, you know, stays behind in your machine. But okay. You know how it goes with testing. There is people that have drank it at the factory because they were like, come on, drink this, you know, and they thought it was a coffee. Not me, okay? But yeah, they're still
there. They're
still alive. They're still there. It's not really crazy
good.
Chemical, but you need something. If you've ever tried to wash your cup after you had a coffee and just put water in it, it's not gonna get clean. And that's what people do not understand in the first space when we tell them you have to clean the front of your machine. They say, but I rinse it with water, but you know, water doesn't break down oils or tannins or odors, so you do need something.
You definitely do, especially those little creepy crawlies love coffee, as we found out. Have you guys bootstrapped it the whole time, or have you had to get funding in to? I know it's a bit of a rude question, but like,
nah.
Did you? It's like I think a lot of our entrepreneurs. I think a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, they've made it because, you know, they got money or they had money. And there are a lot of entrepreneurs who become billionaires on family inheritances.
Yeah.
But for the rest of us who are bootstrapping along the way and getting funding from friends, fools and family. So what have you guys done?
Was basically our model. I mean, we obviously saved a lot before we started because, you know, we had a business plan. We said, this is what needs to happen. This is hopefully by when we're going to be profitable. And then it never works out how you thought it would work out. So I would always go for a longer period until you're profitable. I think it took us about 2 years to be profitable. And in that time, we did ask family for loans, which we then, you know, ultimately, thankfully, were able to pay back. We obviously still got loan accounts in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that is something you have to think about, finance. That's the ultimate thing. And, you know,
especially when you're scaling up for growth like this, like where does the money come from to order a huge amount of stuff, to break into a new market, to do the marketing material?
Yeah. So right now we're actually looking for outside investment and funding. But we're also speaking to government. You know, we actually just had a meeting with Westgrow. They've been really supportive. I'm super impressed on how the South African, the economy, Westgrow,
the
Western Cape does support you. And we've met phenomenal people that are trying to get us more into also Asia and Europe.
Wow.
But you got to go make the effort
to
meet those people and to see what's out there.
Nobody's ever opened a door for me. You know what I mean? Nobody's ever opened any doors for me. I've knocked on every door myself. I've opened my own doors. You know what I mean? It's like no one's going to make it happen for you.
You've
got to make it happen for yourself.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay, so a bit of friends, fools and family, and then potentially some government grants, fingers crossed, or some helpful government money. Thank you, government, especially Westgrow. So how did you find your customers? Or where do you... Because you're head of marketing. So
yeah.
Rowan is ops and production and technical stuff, and you're growth. So he'll make it and you'll sell it. It's a very good partnership.
At the beginning, we literally walked the streets. I was in people's houses, pressing the coffee machine button, showing them how this capsule machine works. And it was hard work. And it all starts with hard work.
Yes,
and,
true.
You know, you have to get up at 5:30 in the morning. I mean, you know, you just have to. That first year, too, is so crucial to get over yourself. Because it's all these self-doubts that you have, like, oh, I can't do this, and this is too hard. And and then I actually started exploring other opportunities and going to every single networking event there was in Cape Town.
That's true. That's where we
morning met. And evening.
Yeah.
I would just attend every single one of them. And that's also
Definitely.
And that's not just where I met customers. That's also where I met suppliers,
Wow.
partners.
Yeah.
I think it's the wrong attitude to just go there to sell, because it's about, you know, also giving. Mm-hmm. So I referred a lot of people, you know, in my network to other mm-hmm. business contacts that I have mm-hmm. made. Mm-hmm. And I still firmly believe in networking.
Are you still networking as much?
I am still networking, but not as much, because yeah. now we basically have the national company and the international company. So I have two to-do lists every day.
Wow.
But I do miss it a lot. I think networking, you know, chatting to others, just introduces you to new ideas constantly, and you don't even realize it.
That's true. So. Every time, and I've said this before in one of my other shows, but every time I'm sitting on my chair in my office, I say to myself, you're not making money, you're not making sales. The minute you're out there, every meeting that I go to, like even, like last week I was thinking to myself, oh, you know, do I have to go to this meeting? Go to the meeting, meet the most incredible person who's now got this, we're working together and they're going to help me grow my business, you know what I mean? So if I hadn't gone to the meeting, met this person, then they introduced me to another person, and then it's like you have to be, somebody has to be meeting the clients, because not all people like to meet people, you know. A lot of people are back end and operational, so you have to play to your strength. If you're not a front-facing person, you have to partner with a person who's front-facing.
That's what I said, you always have to find people that can actually do that for you if that's not your strong point. And
although I must say, one of my friends, I think I've also quoted him before on an earlier show, was he built a plumbing business in Joburg, Paul Mertzbacher Plumbing. He, in the beginning, he literally for I think the first 2 months, he literally just walked his entire footprint that he was targeting and he'd flyers in every single house for about 2 months. And he still, about 16 years later, still has some of those people as clients today. And that's what started his business. Yeah. So, yeah, you cannot be afraid of the...
He walked the streets.
He walked the streets.
He walked the streets.
Yeah, just like you, in people's houses. Like, this is so creepy.
But let's have coffee now. Let's have coffee.
And tell them where I am.
I always used to joke, you know, when I told people what I was doing, and I said, well, at least, you know, I make people happy. They drink coffee. I don't sell them vacuum cleaners. I actually have to do work, you know. it's actually a nice thing to enjoy a nice cup of coffee.
It's not hard work.
And now, obviously, you know, with the cleaning products that we're pushing internationally, I'm also very passionate about people having fresh coffee, drinking fresh coffee, because we've seen the state of some of these machines, and you just do not want to have that in your next cup.
No, we're very happy you introduced that capsule cleaner.
It's really, and you know, the brand that we've created is called Cafe New. So if you look for Cafe New cleaning capsules, you see us listed, you know, also we're listed on Amazon and really big platforms now. And we've got amazing customer reviews, and that is also something that, you know, motivates you along the way. Mm. Speak to your customers, get testimonials, you know, testimonials is the one thing that makes you happy and makes other customers happy too, because they see that it works and that they're enjoying your products.
I think I quoted you in one of my videos a while ago. I think it may have been the blog that I wrote saying why you need video marketing in your business. And if you watch that video, I'm sure I said Judith from Coffee Capsules turned up at my office with a phone, and she said, "Can I take a video review?" From you. And I was like, hi, I'm Dylan from Shifton. We are a creative integrated marketing agency, and we just bought from Coffee Capsule, and we love our coffee. And that video went on your website, and my brand went along for the ride. And I think it's absolutely genius.
Yeah.
Because it's such a beneficial exchange. My brand goes on your video, but also it's a real business endorsing your business. Do you know what I mean? It's just like so awesome, and people aren't doing that, you know? So these days, if you get somebody who's actually typed a review, that's good. But a video review.
Video is the future. I mean, we see where all the social media is heading is towards video.
That's why we're doing a video right now.
Just think to yourself if you want to read articles at night or if you're on Facebook watching videos.
Exactly.
So who are you? Exactly. Which one of those are you?
Readers are dying out. Okay, so we got a couple of questions that are coming from a couple of platforms. Specifically email, some of our clients have emailed in a few questions. So number one, did you have a mentor when you started your business?
That is very interesting, because when we first started, I didn't, and I always thought I'm missing something. And that's when I started going to these networking events, meeting amazing people. And then I picked the best person from those, you know, 9 months that I was literally meeting thousands of people. And it was Dylan.
What?
So Dylan and I basically had, you know, bi-weekly sessions, you know, and we were talking about marketing strategy, what to do going forward. And I still think it's such an important part of growing a business, because you are not outside of your business. You're inside, stuck in it. You don't always know what to do next, you know. Even though coffee is a really good field to do marketing, it's it comes fairly easy, but sometimes you just need that outside input. And I would, you know, recommend Shift One for anything. They have been absolutely phenomenal. And just, you need somebody who thinks different to yourself. And you think very strategically, which is what you need in marketing. You need a strategy.
It's funny, because my whole life I was very like operational, to-do lists. And it's only late in life that I've found that I'm becoming more strategic, you know. I think you rise up above the to-do lists, but you got to start at the to-do lists, you know, like literally like action, make things happen. But do you have a mentor now?
At the moment I don't, but you know, we have,
but you have a partner, and I think that helps a lot, you know, because you can bounce things off of some
And you know, I wouldn't say I have a mentor, but we have all these large distribution companies overseas that all have marketing departments, so I will have regular phone chats with them, seeing what works in the market. So it's a bit more difficult, because we already like pushing an international product, and every market is different. So what will work in Scandinavia might not necessarily work in Japan. So you know, you need someone in the country who knows the market and says, this is what we could spend marketing budget on, this is the strategy going forward.
Amazing, a global marketing team.
And you got to ask the right questions as well, you know. These distributors are busy, they have thousands of products that they market, so but it's a good, I mean, they want to grow our brand. We've always believed in relationships. We don't just want to sell to anyone on the planet. It's the same with our customers. You know, if somebody buys a coffee capsule and doesn't fit in their machine, it's customer education. We take it back. You know, we're a very ethical company. If you don't like our product, you don't have to stick with it. So yeah, we really try to work with our customers and our agents very closely.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the minute you get into the space where you're fighting with clients or fighting for refunds and things like that, if a client's that unhappy, you just, okay, you know, if we can't make this right, you know, how do we just pay?
You know, thankfully we don't have that often, but, you know, the problem is also when you sell compatible capsules for every system on the market, most customers do not know that, you know, an espresso capsule is a small capsule, but a Dolce Gusto capsule is a big capsule, because it's both manufactured by Nescafe, the machine. So it makes it very hard for the customer as well.
So they have a Nespresso machine, but actually they
have a Nescafe machine.
So,
and then obviously, you know, you can't say to the customer, oh yeah, but you bought the product by, you say, okay, but we can offer you a capsule for your system that will fit your machine. So,
but then you pay for all the shipping there and back, and you...
That's what you got to do.
Yeah, it's true. Well done. Okay, so let's see question number two. How would you recommend, if somebody was starting a business, starting out their own business from scratch, like what advice would you give to someone starting out from scratch in any industry?
Write a business plan. Definitely, you know.
How long does it take to write a business plan? Because usually...
Well, it depends how much time you can invest, you know, after your work. But, you know, you have to have a research, kind of market research in there. Yeah. How are you going to finance it? Do you need staff for it? What's the marketing? Which is a lot of people forget about that. If you can't sell it, then, well, it's amazing that you have that product, but how are you going to sell it? And it needs to have, you know, a structure at least. I'm not saying, you know, you need to have like a 30-page paper, but you need to kind of know where to position yourself. And then once you start the business, all of that goes out the window, mm-hmm. and you come up with another business plan, because this is what happens when you finally start your business. You start realizing, oh, but I need to do this differently. And and my family and friends said they would buy this, but now that it, you know, the time has come, they're like, I'm cool, you know. So you need to find other customers. You know, your family and friends are also, don't use them to review your product or give you honest feedback on how that product works, or your services. You know, always ask people. That's why I go to networking.
Because I designed my own logo, if you read my latest blog, and everyone said it was lovely.
That so is exactly. Yeah, that is the thing.
You go to networking
events. You have to ask people for their honest opinion. People, and people that you. Don't know you, don't know anything about your business, you show them your flyer and you say, what do I do?
I love the business plan thing, because somebody I know once came to me with a business idea, and I said, I don't know. It's like, do you think this is a good idea? I'm like, I don't know. Go and do a business plan. And when they did the business plan, it was, we realized the operations behind the logistics, importing something and the price to import it and get it to clear customs. And then the business would have broken even in maybe like 6 years.
Yeah.
And we would have needed hectic funding. So just doing the business plan saved everyone so much time.
Yeah.
So much time and so much money. So I agree with you. I think the business plan is a really good
thing. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you don't know. Like, people keep on telling you need to do a business plan. You're like, yeah, definitely. And then they're like, what is that? You know, but you can Google it, and you better to do it for yourself and then look for a mentor, somebody who can give you feedback on it. Is this what a business plan should look like? Have I covered everything? That's the one thing I figured out in you know, starting a business. People always try to figure everything out by themselves.
So true.
And you can't.
No.
If you're an entrepreneur and you're starting out, yes, you want to do this yourself, but you will need help and you will need opinions from others. So
that's why I think it comes back again to something I bang on about all the time. It's so much easier to be an entrepreneur in a field that you know, because if you already know the distribution pipeline, if you already know the other competitors, if you already know the customer pains, it's so much easier to create that business plan, because you know so many of those answers. But yeah, starting out in a field that you know nothing about, it's fine. You just need to speak to, like you're saying, a lot of people.
Yeah, do your proper research.
Yeah. No, totally agree. Okay, so how can you save money and reduce startup costs? Kind of related to the question we were just talking about.
Definitely by, you know, doing smart things with your marketing, because marketing can, you know, cost a lot of money. So we've saved a lot of money in marketing by, for example, not concentrating on print advertising, using social media for a lot of things. Once again, you know, going on customer testimonials, giving customer a reward for referring you on. Use your customers, you know, they are your biggest ambassadors. If they like your product, they will refer you on. And so little people ask their customers, do you know anyone who could maybe like our services? To reduce your startup cost, the most important thing is to do clever marketing, because marketing eats a lot of your funding.
That's true. So like what?
So what ask kind of, your
customers.
Ask referrals. Your customers, you know, for referrals. Ask them for testimonials. You know, go. You know, just take a little camera and do a little video.
Trade exchanges are great.
Partnerships.
Yeah. So like, we're doing a trade exchange with one company for a service that we can't do, that they're gonna do, and we're gonna exchange marketing. So you know what I mean, like.
Yeah.
We did a trade exchange with you for coffee capsules. You know what I mean? It helps. Yeah, so you got marketing services and...
Yeah, but also, you know, partnering up. For example, we, you know, like last year we promoted Chocolates by Tome, you know, the chocolate store on the waterfront. They gave us some of their nice chocolate. We shipped that with our orders to people in South Africa. We tried, but...
I got lots of chocolates now in my house.
No, customers loved it, and it promoted the brand so nicely. And in the return, you know, they featured us in their store.
That is clever. So a strategic alliance with somebody sitting on your customers. I always talk about this. Like, who is sitting on your customers? So the chocolate store was
gave us
very
chocolates.
Clever. Yeah. Because chocolates and coffee, hello.
And then for the cleaning product, you know, we did an exchange with Sweep South, which is an online-based cleaning service.
Yeah. That's clever.
And, you know, they sent our cleaning capsule out on their database, and then we gave our customers a voucher to use on their platform.
Oh, that's clever.
So you always got to think about when you see companies, how could our product maybe benefit their customer base, and how would it be in return?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's a brilliant idea. Very, very clever.
And you just meet such nice people along the way, and people you actually want to support, and you want to grow those businesses. So it's actually really beneficial for everyone.
So what mistakes have you made?
Lots. Lots of mistakes. Which then, you know, led to new business ventures. Just the rental business, when we started it, we just overestimated how many customers would want a machine, because we overestimated that a lot of customers already had machines. So then we obviously found that out. And through that, you know, people saying, oh, we have machines, can we buy the capsules from you? We're like, more and more people keep on saying this. Let's start an online store where we actually sell the capsules. So that, you know, that mistake of not doing it from the get-go has then led to our actual business, what we ended up doing in the end. And then obviously, you know, we've done the usual, like put budget into things that just don't work. You know, done the trade exchange with a print magazine and offered a voucher print, which just, it does not work. If you're in the online space, do online advertising. Print is not dead. I still think, you know, brand awareness is amazing for print. That's why all the big companies still do print. Yeah. But if you're a startup company and you only have limited amount of budget, go for the low-hanging fruit.
A Facebook click can cost from 50 cents to 2 rand, whereas a magazine ad costs upward from 7,000 rand for any magazine ad. So if you take 7,000 rand and you do a Facebook lead generation ad, because it's the only kind of ads I really believe in on Facebook, you want email addresses. I mean, hello, for 7,000 rand, you could end up with, 7,000 email addresses. And you've got a database of people saying, yes, I'm interested, please contact me. Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? Gold. And sure, maybe half of them are rubbish. But maybe more than half are rubbish, but maybe 2,000 are gold.
So the biggest thing that I've basically, you know, taken away from starting a business, you know, making mistakes, is that it's sometimes good to listen to people, but if you go to a workshop and the guy is just giving you a 2-hour presentation on what you should do in your business, and you just wanna flock your head against the wall because you're like, how on earth am I gonna do all of this? Yeah. Like, I am one person, you know? Yeah. I have maybe, you know, like a team that I can, give stuff to, but in no way, shape or form am I gonna do the 30 things that you just said you have to do to be a successful business owner.
Yeah.
And then I went to one talk, which was very different, where they actually said, you know, if you go to a workshop and you take away one thing, just one thing, and you implement that into your business, and that is much better advice. So you must always, you know, in your business, what's the next step, what's my goal, just one goal. You know, we all have these to-do lists where we have 30 things on, but you got to prioritize. You got to say, this is the most important thing. If I only get that done today, then my day tomorrow is going to be better, because I know I put this away, and you've got to set priorities.
I really like what you're saying. So I've started trying to get up earlier, and part of this whole business of getting earlier is to also go through my to-do list. Because I agree, I think a lot of entrepreneurs are doers. You're not going to be a successful entrepreneur if you're not a doer. So if you're busy out there doing, how do you weigh up the important things? Because your list is this long, and you've only got that much time. So how do you prioritize your to-do list?
Well, you know, most of us go, I don't feel like that. Oh, that's cool. That will take me like 15 minutes, but I can stretch it to an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's really the things, you know, that mostly, you know, are uncomfortable or have urgency, you know. If we bought, you know, 100,000 capsules and we need to sell them, then my biggest priority is, you know, schedule a newsletter, get it out. If you have product sitting somewhere and it's not selling, then you have a problem. So there's certain things depending on what industry you're in. You know, if you have enough sales coming in, you don't need to necessarily worry about the sales, but maybe about the after sales. But so it really depends on where your business is at. But it's really about focusing and thinking to yourself, if I do this today, how will it grow my business tomorrow? Because we all can do all the admin, and yes, it's important, but you shouldn't start with that first thing in the morning, because you can do admin when your brain is kind of, you know, fallen asleep, fried at night, you know, in the evening. But it's really the first thing, and I don't look at my emails first thing in the morning. Normally in the office at 8, so from like 8 till 9 or 9:30, I try to really do one activity that I know I won't have time probably for the rest of the day, because then the calls start, people start coming in, your staff demands you, you know, you have different things you need to discuss in meetings. So it's very important, if I have to, for example, approve something, write something, you know, I actually need my brain power, strategize to do that first thing in the morning, because that's when I am the most productive.
True.
It's also about knowing when you are the most productive, because one rule doesn't work for everyone. That's why you can listen to all these talks and you can think, oh, that's what I should be doing and I should do it like that. But in the end of the day, as an entrepreneur, it's about figuring out how you are most productive. And that might take years. I mean, I've only now discovered my to-do list system of how it actually works for me, and it took me 4 years to figure out what to do first and when am I most productive. Some people, they love working at night and then they torture themselves to be in the office at 8 o'clock in the morning, because some business coach has told them that if they're not at 8 o'clock in the office in the morning, their business is gonna fail. So listen to yourself and play to your strengths.
Yeah, I love it. And you're right about that. Just taking one thing away, because I give a lot of talks and I do a lot of entrepreneur coaching, and it can be so overwhelming, and I'm so aware of, like, digital marketing is so deep and there's so many disciplines, and there's, you know, I can give a whole talk just on email marketing for a full day, just on email marketing. But yeah, I agree with you. One of the talks I give, it's my keynote speech, I actually start the talk with saying, just do one thing from this talk. And at the end of it, I say, can you just do one thing? Because I completely know, and I like what you said. The problem is that you try to do so many things. So I think there's two types of people. One's totally overwhelmed. There's too much, I'll never get to it, and they don't even do anything. And the other one's like, okay, I'm gonna do 17 things. I'm gonna master all 6 social media platforms, as opposed to just mastering one brilliantly, like being an Instagram guru.
Yeah, but it's also about knowing if you're not good at something. So if you really do not know marketing, you don't enjoy marketing, get somebody else to do your marketing. It really is so crucial, because if you do not market your business, you're not going to have sales. And a lot of people underestimate marketing, but, you know, there's a lot of crooks out there. So you got to go to someone that you trust. You know that, you know, they won't sell you something you don't need. And they, you know, you say, I have this budget, this is my options. And maybe they do one thing for you this month and one thing the next month. And that's how you can grow your business.
So we're going to wrap up. And the last question I'm going to ask you is, what are the top channels that you found have worked best for you? Like your top 3 ways that you've gotten sales?
Email marketing. It just works if those people know you. If you're just sending blind emails to people that, you know, spamming, it just doesn't. But on our website, I mean, if you go on, everywhere it says subscribe to our newsletter. And then we target those people. They're happy to hear from you. They love our coffee recipes and all what we offer. And they buy our products. So it, you know.
Well, I bought last month based on an email I got. And there I had bought for a long time because we had a whole lot of stock still. And then I was like, sale, woohoo!
Yeah, and then it's just a reminder. It's just a reminder. And that's a great way to stay, you know, in touch with your customers. Then, you know, I think we've done a lot of, you know, Google AdWords, which also brings us, you know, return. But you gotta set up a reasonable budget, because you can also go overboard with that.
Yeah.
We quite lucky, we rank quite well organically. Mm-hmm. But that also takes some time. Mm-hmm. To rank organically. And then, you know, we do sometimes Facebook, but if you don't pay for ads or, you know, lead generation, it doesn't really, it's pretty dead. Mm-hmm. We should do more on Instagram. Instagram is coming, so yeah, that's a good one. But really, hands down, email marketing. Huh?
So that's the channel that you love, that works the best for you.
That's obviously, yeah, you know, for our national business. Mm-hmm. Internationally, it's about networking, going to international shows. You know, we've just been to Milan. We were at Thailand before that. That's where we met people like Wes Grohe, got in contact with them.
Awesome.
It's all about making contacts, but also, you know, establishing those contacts. You can't expect and that's the same when you start a business, you can't expect to see the return in a year.
Mm.
You have to motivate yourself,
yeah,
every single day that you're
see
playing
the
long
see
game,
the yeah,
and look back, see where you came from, but don't stay there. Like, what's the future for the business? You know, I mean, some people like to do vision boards. I just like to send myself a voice note sometimes about what I think we should be doing. So again, what works for you,
yeah,
that you got to figure out. But it's really, really nice to see where you want to go as a company, as a person. I mean, you know, starting a business is so rewarding,
mm,
for yourself as a person. You would never grow that much, you know, in a corporate environment, because
nope, you'd just be covering your ass and trying not to get stabbed in the back. Or maybe that was just me. Judith, you've been amazing. Thank you so much. You've taught us so much. I've learned from you, and I think our viewers have learned so much from you. Thank you for sharing so openly and so from your heart. And I think your journey and how far you've come in such a short time is amazing. Really amazing.
Thank you.
So that's it for episode 13. I hope everybody got a lot of value. Please go and like and follow and subscribe to Judith's email newsletter and all of her social media channels. Follow her so you can see what she's doing, because she's doing some really good marketing work. Thank you guys so much, and don't forget to subscribe to the show, to this channel. Please subscribe and share and like and be awesome. So we'll see you next week. Thank you very much, everybody. Goodbye.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Dylan.
Thank you.